Welcome, everybody. How are you doing? This is Marilyn O'Malley, and this is Embodying Happiness and Prosperity Radio. Does everybody have this? Feel free, if you're on the webcast, to make comments or ask questions as we go along. And or hit start 2 if you're on the phone. And today we are going to talk about, well, the title is Don't Ask for Help, Afraid to Appear Needy or Weak. And we're going to be covering that. And I just want to share a little bit about me. For those of you who are new and don't know anything, who's this woman on this radio show and what qualifies her to talk about these subjects, I'm a transformation expert. And the reason I call myself that versus a life coach or consultant, whatever, I have a huge toolbox, and I work in a lot of different areas. I work very holistically. I work with people around all the areas of their life. And particularly now, I work with highly sensitive and creative entrepreneurs and professionals. And I work with those people who are desiring to live a meaningful, prosperous, and juicy life, but you're struggling in your life with perfectionism, poor boundaries, lack of structure, low self-esteem, overwhelm, not feeling safe, and lack of clarity, and lack of, you know, manifesting what you want to manifest here in your life. So your life could be, you know, going along pretty well, but there's certain things that you aren't working for you. And also, I would say a majority of my clients, they are wanting to make a difference in the world. So by being highly sensitive, that a lot of times their, you know, self-esteem is, they're like, why me? How can I do that? Who's going to care? Am I good enough, et cetera? And then also there's a big fear about being seen and heard that goes along with that. And also structures, boundaries, et cetera, a lot of the stuff that I said. So I've been doing this work since 2002. I probably have over 5,000 coaching hours, and I walk my talk. So, and why I say that is, like, I practice what I share with you. So a lot of this is not just me spewing knowledge out that I've learned from somewhere. I really, I'm kinesthetic part, and I am a pioneer, so I like to go out and see what's there. I've been doing this since since I was a little kid, and so I'm always like, what's new, what's happening, and how do I apply it? Does it work? Does it not work? And then I like to share it. So anyway, enough about me. Let's move on, because this is a juicy topic, and so why is this topic important? Asking for help, and why we don't ask for help, and asking for what we, being supported in what we need. And I just want to share a little story about me again, and how you can sort of see how this plays out. And I want you to think about where in your life are you not asking for help? And I'm hoping in sharing my story, you'll see some of the consequences for not asking, and then you'll also see how it came about. But and the reason I think this is such an important topic right now is that we realize that we're not here alone, and that what is creatively wanting to, what you are wanting to create in your life, and some of you might not think that you're creative, but any desire that you have, anything that you're wanting to come into your life, you are creating. So I always think everybody is creating. You're creating your day. You're creating your meal. You're creating your health. You're creating your relationship. You're creating your love for yourself and for others. You're creating your you know, whatever you do in your business, in your life. So you are a creative individual, and those inspirations that we get to create things in the world are, you know, are waiting for you to follow through and create it. And what happens is, because people aren't asking for help and they're thinking they have to do it on their own, it becomes overwhelming and daunting. And we are at a time on this planet where it is really about all of us coming together to create together and come up with solutions, solving problems, and being innovative and creating new ways to live sustainably in this world, and, you know, from a place of love and care and meaning. And so it is for everybody's benefit that we all start to, not only just your own. So I want you to get clear, like, asking for help is not selfish. It is actually very expansive. And there are, you know, people who are waiting to help you, that are, you know, here on the planet to help you. And if you can't ask for that and get that met, it's like then other people aren't serving in the way that they're here to serve on the planet. So some people are the leaders, the creators, the visionaries, and then you have the team players and the people that are here to help get that out into the world. And then you have your, you know, other people that have certain knowledge and stuff that you need, and they're here to come together and help. So we're all working together. We all have different aspects, talents, and gifts that coming together, we can do this. You're not meant to do it on your own. So I would say that, you know, I grew up thinking that I had to do everything on my own because I had a single mother, a mother that was divorced. She was overwhelmed, highly sensitive, overwhelmed, raising three children, and I was the oldest. And so I felt that any pressure on her would be a tipping point that somehow I would end up losing her, our father. So my grandmother said to me, "You better be a good girl, or, you know, you don't want to lose your mom. And I thought, you know, when my parents got divorced when I was four, and nobody ever explained why my father left, and it was just, I got that, you know, the kids were too much. They were very young. Anyway, the point is that I felt I needed to be the good girl. I needed to help support my mother, that I had to put everything that I desired on the back burner because this was for safety reasons. Because if I lost my mother, who would take care of me? Who would take care of us? How, you know, so in a sense, I just grew up thinking that, you know, making her safe or making things less challenging for her, however I could as a kid, you know, was really important. And so I then grew up, you know, thinking that my purpose in the world was to take care of other people and make other people happy, and, you know, so that they you know, would be around. It somehow is just creating this safety. And so what happened, you know, I just was very strong. I felt like if I asked for help that I was weak, that I wasn't good enough. And that was part of my personality too, was that I wasn't good enough to, or worthy enough, although this was more unconscious. You know, it wasn't like I thought, oh, I'm not good enough, but it was like I particularly did not want to look dumb or stupid. So it's like asking for help or asking questions made me feel like I'm going to be seen as being stupid. And so, you know, I wasn't smart enough. And so I had this hunger to learn, which was a natural hunger, but there was also this hunger that, you know, if I just knew enough, then I would be okay. Or, you know, and there, of course, there was never enough. So I had, so I would research everything as I grew up as an adult and everything. You know, if I didn't know how to fix up my house or whatever, I would research and I would do it myself. I would learn how to garden, you know, just whatever I did, I delved into and learned it and then would do all of that on my own. And, you know, it made me look good and I could do anything, you know, I could do anything I put my mind to. And then I ended up, as I've written and I think I've talked about before, I had this health issue that came up and sort of shook my whole world. It was like the cracking point where it cracked me open and it made me look at all my beliefs and everything. But the first thing that happened for me that sort of really like shocked me when I got clear was I thought, who's going to take care of me? You know, if I'm really sick. Now, I'm married. I have two kids. I've been in the community for a long time. I have very good friends. You know, a community that loves me, and I'm thinking, and you know, my family, my mother, my brother, my sister, and I am questioning that who's going to take care of me, because I would be a burden on somebody if I was sick, you know, and I saw that my whole life was wrapped around taking care of other people and that was my value. And that if I couldn't take care of myself and be this, you know, strong persona that I had created and that this illness was knocking me off my feet, then I was nobody. And who would want to take care of me? Who would want to take care of somebody that's burdened? I mean, I think about, you know, somebody loving and caring about me. So, and so all my decisions in life had been made around these things that I'm going to explain to you now. But I just wanted to, you know, that's a brief overview of my experience and just part of my experience. But so do you have needs? Of course you have needs. And what happens here is that when we're first growing up, we have this, I work with the chakra, so I'm going to be talking about some chakra vows here, the vows that we take as we're growing up and with the kids, as a child, and moving those things into our lives. And what happens is that we make vows as children to not ask to have our deepest needs met. And why do we do that? Well, there's three major reasons. One is we didn't get our needs met. We didn't get our needs of love, shelter, attention, validation, nutrition, comforting, emotional support, or safety net. And your parents didn't know how to care for themselves, much less for anyone else. or they may have been narcissistic or a drug and alcohol addict or have a mental illness, you know? So it's like they're unconscious. So we're not here to blame, but we're here to just the facts. And the facts are that, you know, that's one area, one major reason. And a lot of that has to do in the first chakra, around your vows of loyalty to the family and safety. That's where it's where everything that's solid, you know, did you get fed meals? Were you taken care of? Were you clothed? Did you have a home over your head, a roof over your head? And it's the family, that's where the bonds of the family, like being safe. Remember I told you I wasn't safe. I had to do everything. I had to disregard me, not see me as an individual and more see, like, here's the family dynamics and I need to do this for the family. And so growing up in your family is where you're going, in the first chakra, you know, is learning all about, what the family believes and how they see things, what you have to do. You might have been the comedian for the family. You might have been the caretaker, the emotional support, depending on if your parents, like we're just saying, if they were mentally ill or narcissistic or whatever, you had to show up in a certain way, and it wasn't safe to be you outside of that. And so there's vows around, the laws of the tribe. Whatever your family says goes. Family comes first. You do not come first. There are no individuals in the family, except for maybe either the mother or the father, you know, whatever they say. I will never have, you take on the family vows around money. You'll always support the tribe. You vow that I vow to never allow rewards. You know, rewards to come in, literally manifesting rewards to come in, because maybe somehow that stood out, you know, when you got an award or a blue ribbon at school or something and you took it home and your parents said, well, don't get a big head about it. Or that, you know, somehow it wasn't good to have trophies, to be the best, to stand out. I will never surpass anyone in my tribe. This has a lot to do with money, too. So rewards financially are, again, that you can't have more than somebody else in the tribe. And you're not really allowed to rest, that you always have to be, I know some of my clients was like they could never be, like, sit down and read a book. They always had to be doing something, that was expected to them and their family. So they never could get their needs met of, you know, wanting to nourish themselves to replenish, et cetera. I vow to be loyal, to lie, to deny myself to be safe, or to do whatever you had to do to be loved. So those are some of the first chakras. But then we go into, so another major reason is we didn't feel safe. So also in the first chakra is, you know, safety. Do you feel safe being you? And do you feel safe about the world? How does the world look to you? And again, this is like, it's a reflection. You are programmed from your environment around you. So if your family saw the world as not being safe, then most likely you grew up thinking the world's not safe. It's not a safe place in certain aspects in that. Also not being safe with you. So we don't feel safe. We would be humiliated by family or peers or ignored. A family member would become angry or upset when asking something of them. We would be physically harmed by calling attention to ourselves. So those are some of the other reasons as a child that you would make a vow to not have needs. And as we move up from that first chakra into the second chakra, which the second chakra is all about having your needs met. It's about where you have desires and getting your desires met, where your power, this is where your power is, what you desire, sex, money, where you ask and receive what it is that you desire. This is how your feelings and senses and emotions are relating to the world around you. And so just understand that first chakra feeds the second chakra. So as you move up, so if you're not feeling safe, and if you feel like you have to give up you to be loyal to your family, so now you come into the second chakra. So that's about, I vow to not be me, to hide who I am in order to be loyal to the tribe or in order to be safe. You have these little things. So understand, like, you might be, as I'm talking, picturing yourself as a little kid. Just picture yourself going back as young as you can think and put yourself in a family situation and see how that child is getting their needs met or not getting them met. What was it that's keeping you from really asking and going after what it is that you really desire? And here's the thing, too. If you were ever abused, you will make a vow to never be abused again, to never be taken advantage of. So it's like you will look at everybody as if they are a possible predator. So it's like you're not going to trust people. You're not going to want to be vulnerable around people. So you're wanting to be in a place of control. And so you will set things up, starting from a child, to feel in control. And so you might not ask somebody for something because then you feel out of control. You feel vulnerable. Then if I ask somebody for help, then they might ask something from me, or they might hold that over my head. This is where you learn to trust people or not to trust people. And so again, watching, just looking as a child, how you saw the world and whether you thought that you could get it was safe for you to get your needs met, or whether you had to get those needs up in order to take care of a sick mother or father or other siblings, being the oldest or being the youngest of a lot of kids and having older parents, et cetera, or somebody is doing whatever you have to do to feel like you have to be loved, to be supported, to be taken care of. So I vow to never feel my deepest needs or to sound needy. So here it's like if we don't get our needs met and we're asking and we're not getting it, it hurts. It hurts. And so after a while we just say, I'm not going to ask anymore, and I'm just going to do it myself, and I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to, show up, and I vow to not sound like a victim or look like a victim. You know, it's like we put on this really, armor almost. Like, okay, it's war. It's me against you, and I'm going to win, and I'm just going to take care of myself, and you guys be on your own. But it feels really lonely. It's lonely. It's like, and you never feel connected. But understand why you're doing that. We were taught that, so the third one, we were taught that the individual wants, needs are not as important as the family, tribe, religion, or culture. We are selfish if we consider our needs first. So again, our conditioning The second chakra is where our self-image forms, our emotional identity. Our second chakra vows and beliefs help form our identity. So the second chakra vow that our deepest needs can't be met because it's cutting off our intimate relationships in the world with other people. We start designing our emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical identity around other people's perspectives rather than our own feelings, desires, and needs. Think about that. To go back and again, to sort of feel that yourself as a little child and seeing how you've just sort of disconnected from you and are now all of your energy is focused outwards, and your energy is focused outwards to try and read what you think other people want you to show up as. And then you come and try to do that. But it never feels good or right enough because it's not you. Not that there's something wrong with you, but that's not you. And your perception of you is like focused on how people are reacting to you from the outside in. And what I'm wanting to crack open right now is that you've been smothering and ignoring the real you, who is magnificent. But the crappy part that you're feeling is trying to be somebody that you're not in order to be safe and feel love and get your needs met. But you're not really getting your needs met now as an adult because you're not even really aware of most of your needs. And you're thinking that you're not good enough or smart enough or pretty enough or healthy enough or perfect enough to allow yourself to receive the reward or to ask for help and support in creating what it is that you want to create. So one of the big things here I want you to get is like, you are not who you've been thinking you are. And that the choices that you've made as a child growing up, there is nothing to be ashamed about. So I want you to release the shame around you did what you thought was necessary and how brilliant did you figure this out. Like, I just, like, it's amazing to me what children are capable of doing. And I've had some clients that have had horrendous, horrendous, you just can't even imagine, childhood, and how they contrived a life and made it to you know, be alive today, or to still have the mental capacity and the creativity that they did, the resilience that they've had, and you have that too. So look back at that little girl or that little boy and just go, wow. Look at what you figured out, you know, with little knowledge as to how to survive in your world and get to where you are now. And to love that inner child, to love all of that energy that it took for them to do what they did. So we lose our own identity and start to believe we are too much, not good enough or not worthy enough to have what it is that we desire. We feel broken and our soul's desires and needs go unexpressed. They're buried deep down inside of us. And this causes unhappiness, depression, apathy, and anxiousness. When we don't express ourselves into the world through our passions, desires, and needs, we feel not like ourselves, invisible, unheard, unhealthy, dull, and bored. The good news is that we can create new vows and break through the old ones. So if you have taken this, any of these vows, you can ask for help, receive support, have healthy, intimate relationships with others, with money, with yourself, as well as get your needs met. You can thrive, you can create, you can appreciate. Remember, you are not your programming. You are not your beliefs, not your thoughts and emotions. You are just acting them out. And you are not your old story. You are not your story. So how to move forward? So recognize your vows. Take some time and look at what are the beliefs and vows that I made. And vows are deeply hidden beliefs. It's like making a marriage vow. It's like a commitment. It's black and white. This is like, I'm doing this. Something happened and it made you say, I will never do that again. I will never trust anyone again. I will never ask for help again because I never want to feel that way. I never want to feel weak. I never want to feel needy. I don't want to feel afraid, so I'm taking control. And it's an illusion. And they're not the truth, and it's not you. So how to move forward. So recognize your vows. Seeing your program will allow you to manage it. So seeing what is running your life. What are those things, those thoughts? You know, why do you feel, why can't you ask for help? Go into that. Look back as a child. What is it that, how do you think, if what is asking for help, how is it going to make you feel? And that's, so follow that. And then so you find the feeling. And so what's the thought behind that feeling? So get your journal out and sit quietly and think back as far as you can. And just feel into, what are those, what is it that I made a vow to? What did I commit to showing up in the world as a child, from a child's perspective? If you can't remember, get as close as you can and notice how your younger self came to the conclusion that they couldn't ask for help. So have compassion for the child that you were. Let go of the shame and the guilt and the negative judgment. Stop judging. Start loving that child. You know, again, how smart were they to figure out how to take care of themselves? How clever the choices they made to help them survive in the family or the tribe or the culture or the religion. Acknowledge the creativity and the heart they had to survive. And so one of the ways that I have found very healing working with myself and with my clients is the Ho'oponopono prayer. And you say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And what you do, it, you're saying this to your inner child. You're saying, I am so sorry for thinking that you weren't strong, or you weren't creative, or you weren't lovable or good enough, you know, and you just go through that process of healing and let the tears come. If there's anger, whatever the emotions, just let the emotions just move through it, let it happen. And just support that inner child. I do a lot of inner child work. Because if you haven't done this work, if you haven't done, that your inner child is what's driving your life. That, you know, imagine that there's your little kid is in the driver's seat, can barely see over the steering wheel, and maybe not even see over the steering wheel. You're sitting in the passenger side. This is why I want you to become conscious of this. I want you in the driver's seat. I want you taking care of your inner child sitting in the passenger seat, because your inner child is intuitively and and two is, you know, is out there looking what is safe, what is not, from the child's perspective. And is the ego, your ego is if you're letting that child drive, is protecting that child. So that's a lot of times why you don't feel like it's safe to do something. You can't step beyond it, or you've got this tape of the ego. Oh, no, don't go there, because remember, we were humiliated when we did that before. Well, you, that was 4 years old. You're 30 today. So practice that Ho'oponopono prayer. See what starts to come up. See as you start doing that how your inner child starts to soften. And here's the thing, too. You do this work, and you take care of that inner child, and you tell that inner child as an adult that you are going to take care of it, that it is safe, that its needs are going to be met, that you're going to listen to what it wants to create. That fight or flight or fleeing fears in you, anxiety, is going to calm way down. Your anxiety and your fear is level is going to really settle down. So listening, start listening to yourself, and that child is, you know, just wanting your attention. So it is, that inner child is asking for help, but it doesn't know how to ask for it. And so you as the adult need to know, need to parent your inner child. You need to go in and say, what do you need? I'm here. So you get to see, so you get to play out how helping somebody feel. I mean, doesn't it feel good when you can really help somebody? Well, imagine that you're not allowing other people to help you and they really want to help you. That's not making them feel good. Again, you're a team player. And all of us are team players. There's more that are leaders. There's some of us that are less of team players. But thinking that, you know, that humanity is a team. And we have some leaders. We have the team players. We have people that bring in knowledge and create new knowledge and study things, et cetera. We have all these different gifts and talents that we each bring to this team of humanity. And where was I going in this? So taking care of yourself and not being the people pleaser. So the opposite of a team player is a people pleaser. And a lot of us who denied ourselves and made ourselves available to others in order to survive are people pleasers. And so we would rather, we want to please, we'll do everything to please other people rather than to stand in our on our own truth. And that does not serve humanity, it doesn't serve you, and it doesn't serve that person, because there's really no way you can please that other person. They've got their own things that they have to take care of. It's an illusion. So the best way that you can be a team player is to take care of yourself, to heal your wounds, to meet your needs met, and to create what you're here to create in the world. That's a real team player. So feel, the next thing is how to move forward. So feel your deepest needs. Feel your feelings. Take time to be in the present moment in your body, feeling what you are feeling. This will get you back in touch with you and what it is that you're really desiring, and start to peel away. You'll start to see, well, you know what, that's not really me. That isn't what I really desire. Feel your deepest desires and needs and write them down as they appear. Throughout the day, check in and ask, what am I feeling? Because a lot of times what happens, because we denied ourselves getting our needs met, or our needs weren't met, and we didn't want to feel the pain of that, so we stop feeling. We start thinking more. We're more in our heads. This is unconsciousness. Feeling is consciousness. So we get in our heads, and we're trying to figure everything out. and that isn't our information comes to us through vibration, through frequency. So we need to be feeling and to feel what you desire in life, how you're reacting to the things that are showing up in life will give you information. That feels expansive. That feels contracted. That doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel right. Don't want to go there. Instead of thinking it through, I should be able to handle this. I can take on a lot. You know, if I was a strong person, I should be able to do everything. No, you got to live. You know, even though my body is tired and I feel like I need sleep, I'm going to stay up all night and finish this project. No. No. What do I feel about this situation, this event, this person? Ask yourself that. Your feelings are information for you. Receive it. Start receiving information. Start receiving and trusting it. Start receiving it, because that's how you receive your intuition. The one thing that's blocking you from asking your needs is that you're not in a receiving way. So if you're also not receiving the manifestations that you want, the money, the relationships, the love, the career, you're blocking because you're not trusting, right? So wherever you block in one place, you're blocking in all places. So if you can't trust people, then you can't, and you're more in your thinking and you're not feeling, then you're not receiving information. Allow yourself to start receiving information. Allow yourself to start receiving compliments. If somebody comes up, the simplest thing is says, oh, you look beautiful today. Say, thank you. Don't go, oh, this old dress, blah, blah, blah. No, just start receiving in that way. Start building, you'll build up. You know, you're going to start building up your tolerance to receive. And that way, you'll start receiving other things. You'll start allowing the love to come in. Feelings of love, not just thinking about it. Ask yourself, what do I want to feel and what would bring me pleasure? And then do, be, or have it. Allow yourself to go there. Another thing you can do is picture your younger self and see what it was that you needed, desired, that you didn't get your needs met. Make a note of it and give it to yourself. Like if you didn't get enough love or you didn't get validated, start giving it to yourself now. You give it to yourself. It all starts with you. Let that inner child know that they are safe. Well, I talked about that before. You are the adult taking care of things now. It's safe to ask and receive what they need and desire. So start listening, start feeling, and start allowing yourself to receive and to get the help and ask for help or support in whatever way. So you can see that this relationship is starting within you first. And as you get comfortable with that, it starts growing. It will naturally grow outside of you. You can also create a new vow, like I am supported by people and the universe, or my needs are always met. And that just creates a mantra for you. My needs are always met. My needs are always met. You start looking at the world in a new way. Replace the old vows and beliefs with new vows that support you asking and receiving what you need and desire. Create a movie in your mind, seeing yourself doing, being, feeling, and having your needs met. Play the movie daily, feeling it all play out until it becomes your new reality. So notice what other beliefs and vows were made from this vow. So if you imagine, you know, that like that safety goes all the way through your life and all the decisions, whether you feel safe or not, that has influenced all your decisions, all your life from that childhood. If you feel loyalty or whatever the loyalty vows that you made, if you feel like you don't trust people, that has been, goes throughout your whole life. But here's the thing, you can change all of those. And so some other related vows would go, I will never sound like a victim. So even though you say, I will never sound like a victim, but you're holding on to the belief that you are a victim. So no matter how much you are saying, oh, I'm not a victim and I take responsibility for my life, this is still running underneath that you are a victim. I will be very responsible. So you are responsible for everything. And so that feels overwhelming. That is draining. You feel like you have to, this is where perfectionism comes in. This is where you feel like you have to solve everybody else's problems, that you're in control, like the world's on your shoulder. And that's not true. I'm not worthy, not good enough, not smart enough, all of those things. So look for those. Money isn't there for me. Money, men, women aren't there for me. Where are you believing this? If that's running in the background, you've got to switch that. You've got to change that. These vows are influencing all your choices that you're making in your life. I will never be vulnerable. So I can never be myself. I can never cry in front of somebody. I can never say, you know, vulnerability is powerful. When you are yourself, and you can say what you need and want, it's so powerful. It is not being weak. I used to think this. Oh, my gosh. That's such a big one for me. But I know it's different, and I'd love for you to figure that one out. I will never ask for money. So if you can't ask for what you need and support, how can you be able to receive it? So I will never ask for money. I will never trust anyone. I won't feel my feelings. I will be perfect, and then my needs will be met. My needs of money, love, friendship, attention. No, because you will be a perfectionist. Things are never perfect. And that's not how it works. But isn't how this, you're working from the outside in, it's from the inside out. You already are magnificent. You already have people who love you. There is no perfection other than you being vulnerably you. And that is perfection. How you were born into this world is perfection and magnificent. And here are ways you try and control your world and people when you believe you can't get your needs met. So see if this relates to you at all. Being super needy. So there's I don't need anything, and then there's the opposite of people feeling super needy. Like they just, you know, they're all the time asking for what they want over and over. They don't feel like they can do it themselves. But so here's another thing. It's like take some time and journal about what you believe about needy people. But I want you to really look at the aspect also. They're asking for what they need, and they usually get it even though they come off really needy. And it's just that, you know, there's two extremes here. And we're not wanting to judge. Just understand that these are wounded children. We're all operating from our wounded children, inner child. And, you know, it's trying to resolve and take care of itself, and it's only doing what it knows. So I'm trying to give you some information so that you can heal that wounded child, and you can move forward with a new set of understanding what is possible for you. Okay, so ways of controlling your world: by being super needy, by dominating, so people that feel like I have to be in control, nobody else can be in control, like the perfectionist that won't let anybody else, nobody can do it as good as they can, by appearing self-sufficient, strong, and not having needs, by being codependent, needing what others want. Okay, get this again, okay? Codependent. Needing what others want, not what you want. By not being aware of your body and its feelings. So this is like a lot of times for people that are have health problems, they're overweight, or, you know, they're exhausted but they don't rest. They're hungry but they don't eat. Or they're not feeling, so they overeat. They're overeating because there's a big pit about not feeling. And they're trying to fuel, they're trying to fill that hole they feel in them. So anyway, here we are, and that, you know, it's important to see what is driving your choices and your actions right now that are not true for who you are and what your soul is and what you're living your life purpose. You are not here to live somebody else's life. You're not here to be a replica of somebody else. You're here to be you and create what is wanting to come out in you. And the parts of you that aren't feeling good are the parts of you that are not you. And it isn't that you're not good enough. It's because you're trying to be somebody else. And so the greatest thing that you can do to help here, too, is to live in the moment, to start living in the moment, because there is no other time than this moment. So if you're living in the past or you're living in the future, or your attention is there, then you're actually living unconsciously. And the only place you can be conscious is in this present moment right here, right now. And that's where we create from. And there is no suffering there. So having compassion and love and taking care of that inner wounded child, getting their needs met, starting to ask for what it is that they desire, requires you to be in the present moment, to be feeling, to ask, you know, what wants to be expressed in this moment. And coming from that new place of this moment is new to create in. It's not pulling all of the baggage from the past into this present moment. That's unconscious. Conscious is feeling and being present and noticing everything around you, feeling in that moment, letting you feel yourself. And one of the ways that you can just start playing with this and do this is just like, am I present now? Am I present now? And as soon as you ask that, you are. So as you can ask that many times throughout the day, am I present now? You'll start living from the moment and creating from that moment. And if you find yourself in fear or anxiety, then you know that you're living in the past or the future. And you're living unconsciously. And what do I mean by that? You're living unconsciously. You're living by the tapes, that monkey mind, the tapes in your head that are running, old programming, your family's, what you said you'd be loyal to, you know, the inner critic, all of those old programmings that have been unconscious. We want to wake up and we want you to stop living unconsciously and being driven and making choices and taking actions and living your life through those filters, because that isn't who you are. And you can tap into who you are in any moment, in the present moment, by becoming conscious to it. So that was a lot. So anyway, I hope that helps. And just knowing that we are here together. We are here to help create this world and our futures and the things that we desire together. So just work on babying that inner child I think that's the things that go along with what I just shared. And I might not be. I'm going on vacation on Saturday, and we're going to be camping. And Tuesday, I'll be somewhere camping in Colorado, so I will not have access to internet, or probably won't have phone connection. So I think what I'm going to do is I'll send out an email for everybody with some shows that you can listen to, and I'll be back on the following Tuesday. And I hope you all, you know what, I don't want to say hope in the present moment, that you discover how delicious, how playful and lovable and worthy you are. And share that with us all. Yeah. And I love you. Have a great next couple weeks, and I will, week, and I will see you when I get back. And take care. Does anybody have any questions? I forgot to ask that last time. So if you have any questions, put it up on the monitor or for the webcast, or if anybody's on the call that wants to raise their hand, hit star 2. Okay. All right, guys. Go out there and create. Happy creating. Woohoo! Bye.
The moderator.